Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Hour number two. Yeah, officially underway now. We've got to find out where JP's going tonight. Apparently, 76ers Boston Celtics has his eye and a player prop in that game. Now, as always with JP, are we going superstar hunting or are we going off the beaten path? He does both.
Yeah, he does both. He doesn't make it easy on us. I'm trying not to do the, let me just say the name I like, but I do, and I don't know if I've made this up in my head, but am I right in that JP is a Tyrese Maxey guy? Like, isn't JP a Tyrese Maxey guy, or is that make
feels like he is? I mean, I've heard many times him talk about Malcolm Brogdon, but I do think he is a Maxey guy overall.
Wait, how is he talking about Malcolm Brogdon when nobody even knows who Malcolm Brogdon is?
Because he watched this morning. Like, if you go on Twitter right now and hit like trends and like trending topics, it's Brogdon and it's slash the early line. Like, I was like, that's
right,
pretty impressive.
Right.
Yep. So
this morning,
that's what's trending today.
Unveiled his latest prospect.
Celtics fans, wait till you see this guy, Malcolm Brogdon, tonight. Like, whoa!
The youthful Malcolm Brogdon.
Now, here's where I'm going tonight. I'm going to go Marcus Smart over 11.5 points. That's where I'm going.
Whoa! Interesting.
Yeah. JP, okay. By the way, kid, did you guess?
Maxey, I think
your
it's Maxey.
All right.
Yeah. I think it's Maxey.
All right. What's it, 20, he's got Maxey. I got Smart.
Was that right?
23.5. Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you got, JP?
Tobias Harris over 16.
Oh, I knew it was going to be sick, man. Oh, which is not bad.
You were close.
That was the next. Was next off my tip of my tongue. There was Tobias Harris there. 16.5 tonight.
Yeah.
You got to figure like, and I like that too because I think JP really using his head today. No Embiid. You're going to have to fire from three-point range. It's going to be a lot more shots up in the air. That those are the ways that you would look, which is why I was joking about P.J. Tucker. Like, all right, P.J. Tucker usually gets 2 threes a game. Maybe he gets 4 threes a game now because somebody has to shoot.
Right. I think that, you know, Maxey's had these really, really big games in those performances. So if you want to look Maxey's direction, again, I think that makes sense. But I'm on, and I know where I'm skipping ahead here a bit, but I'm on that Sixer team total of 101.5. Probably my favorite bet. Of the day.
Play a little more up-tempo, yeah, with no Embiid.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also just such a low number. There's still plenty of talent on the court here for this team. And look, the Celtics defense wasn't covered in glory in that Hawks series, was it? You know, after the first two games overall there, Atlanta obviously found themselves plenty of juice. So I think 101.5 is a really... It's a number I was expecting, but I think it's low. I think it's a vulnerable number is probably the best way to put it then.
Yeah, end of the show, as usual. You know, we'll go over our same game parlays and some action tonight that you want to get down on. But I always look at these games to myself and say, all right, look at the line. Let's just call it 10 even. No Joel Embiid. It's a good chance that the Sixers would get beat by double digits, 15, maybe 20 points. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not cheering for that to actually happen. But then I start to look at guys like the Derek Whites of the world, right? And maybe Al Horford gets maybe a little, even though he's a vet, a little bit more of the, hey, Tatum and Brown taking some extra rest time. And that's why, like, I love Malcolm Brogdon. Like, Brogdon's a starter masquerading as a guy coming off the bench and playing big minutes and expected to get shots up and score points. Not as like, hey, he's going to get 25. But if you put me around that double-digit number, like, you know who's firing off in the third quarter when the Celtics are up 22? It's Malcolm Brogdon. It's Derek White. Like, those are the guys getting it up where you're going like, oh, no. Like, I got Tatum over 29 and a half. He's got 25. He might not even come back in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he. I mean, look, this is the where that Boston team is just so loaded. There was a great moment during the Hawks series, and they actually ended up losing the game, too. But Greg Anthony was on commentary, is doing the color. Mm-hmm. And I swear, dearest, every 5 minutes he goes, I got to tell you, this Boston line, I mean, but they just got a bunch of good basketball players. Like, every time they'd make a sub, he'd be like, no way, this guy's coming. Like, how good is this basketball team? Because everybody is just like 6'4" to 6'8" and just can play both sides of the basketball. They just, they are a very, very good basketball team. What's super unfortunate as well about the Embiid injury is folks that were, from the betting perspective, again, obviously the unfortunate thing is we're missing out on watching Joel Embiid play, is people that were Celtic backers lost out on the chance to attack numbers where I think people had the confidence level that is reflected currently in Boston due to the Embiid absence. I think there were people that had that level of confidence with Embiid expected to play in Boston due to the way they've dominated that matchup there. But now, again, like, you have to lay 2.5 games off the rip in a 2-3 matchup. That's just too tough for me.
Yeah. Let me try to, because I want to try to see, because in these type of games, I find myself, like, let's just say the line is 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You expect that you're probably going to get a pretty competitive game all the way through. And as we always joke, you're taking these prop bets and they tend to die. When? When it's a blowout where you guys just go to the bench, like, you know, Dylan the Villain, my buddy, you know, 10 points with roughly a half to go. Make a bucket. Well, why didn't he score? Why didn't he even play, basically, at that point? He did, like, that's, I don't know, I still get heated. I understand why they did it, but my goodness, just to say, you know what, I don't care, it's 30 points. Instead of making a little hot run to get it inside of 20 with, like, 5 to go, let's just get to the golf course and bounce it out of here. So that was a little bit maddening to watch for me. But do you look more to, like, bench guys? Like, that's what I'm trying to find for, like, the Philadelphia 76ers. So, if it does to get blowout territory, who gets those points? It's not going to be James Harden.
No, it's not. But also, I think that's a tough way to attack, because then you're just better off betting Boston minus the 10 if that's your
strong. Yeah, and they don't have very many people here. Listen, it's not like you're getting a George's Niang right now where you can get after and say that's how many points he's going to score. That's what I want to see. But a lot more to go here. Sixers Celtics, also Suns Nuggets. Monday night on a Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two in full effect here. Sirius XM Channel 159 Sports Grid Network. Moneyline, Donnie and Kevin here. If you want to get some phone calls in, get some hot plays, and I know you guys do. 844-843-6879. Coming up over the break, it's great. That's why I love radio, right? Sitting in my office here, multiple TVs on, computer screens up. Really, the world is ours. We can go anywhere we want. And out of the corner of my eye, I catch a commercial with Chris Paul, as you know, does the State Farm commercials. And I'm assuming it's like a throwback to the early 2000s, because everybody's shorts are down to their ankles here. And I have no idea what the commercial is about. Yes. But you have an issue with the commercial.
I have a major issue.
Wow.
Okay. So the kind of question between, you know, the new State Farm agent, the new Jake, or I guess he's now been the Jake for a while. But Jake.
What happened to
Chris
old
Paul?
Jake?
Yeah, they moved on. It is what it is.
Now, was it a salary thing? You know what I mean?
I don't know. They rebranded the Jake. I guess the initial Jake was kind of like a. Well, that what was the most famous old Jake commercial was when he goes,
khakis? Yes.
Yeah. So. You know, that wasn't, I feel like this Jake is supposed to be cool kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Was it a Kyle Schwarber's the old Jake? We never really see those two guys in the same room together.
Oh,
You know?
You think Kyle Schwarber looks like the old Jake?
Yeah. Like, I figured out every time I see Schwarber, it's like, man, the guy's out there. Now, what don't we like about it?
Okay. So the premise comes in and he's like, oh, hey, what if, like, you know, old school cars come back in style, right? He goes, well, what if we bring back old school basketball shorts? Now, right there, if I pause the commercial, right?
Yeah.
Someone says old school basketball shorts, Donnie.
Okay, yes.
Tight, up top. Yeah. You know, I believe the phrase is, and I don't mean to, you know, push the envelope here, but I believe it's called nut huggers, if I'm not mistaken. Essentially what those shorts are called.
Yes.
So when that then, you know, camera changes to people wearing baggy basketball shorts, I wanted to vomit. It felt like, first of all, an attack on my age, or perhaps just inaccuracies there. I hated the commercial. Hate the commercial. And I really think it should be taken off the airwaves.
That's a good point of view there, because I came up when the snap of a finger fashions change, Kevin, as being a freshman in high school in the early 90s, when it was like, whoa. What is Michigan wearing out there? We all got to get longer shorts. But freshman and JV uniforms are 5 years in the past. So in 1992, when I was a freshman in high school, it was really 1986 to 1987 on our shorts. So, and again, I loved it. My best friend was a very good basketball player. He got the short end of the stick with the wackest pair of shorts you would ever see, and we just couldn't stop laughing at him basically the entire season. But I'm glad you had that point of view and perspective, because you are technically correct here. Now, let's get to the phone lines and have some more fun out here. Jordan from Phoenix is calling in here, 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline. What's up, Jordan?
What's going on, fellas?
Yo.
Let's hope the Valley can rally in Denver tonight, Donnie.
Yeah, we need it.
I don't know. The Suns, K-Dub hits it all the time. They just have no bench. So those starters playing those long minutes. I mean, even if they get through this round, it's going to be a lot. You playing the Lakers or Warriors next round. And then K-Dub, we hit that Mets team total. I heard you talking about it this morning, so I hopped on it. And I think we just smacked that. I think they hit a three-run bomb, right? So let's
three
go.
Innings
and then let's go. And then, Donnie, you know your RBI. Yeah. You know I'm always following you on Twitter, man. I'm always hyping you up. You're the man. So let's keep winning, you guys. You know the drill is the best show on Sports Grid. I appreciate y'all taking my call, y'all.
There it is, man. Nice Jordan checking in. We need the rally to Valley tonight for my own conscience. Maybe I will be tired tomorrow for the morning, because it seems like a pivotal game. The same way I woke. See, last time I went to bed with an easy lead for the Milwaukee Bucks, and I woke up to see they lost twice back-to-back blowing leads. I'm like, oh, come on, man. So I have my one final shining moment here with my Phoenix Suns ticket. I want to feel like I need to cheer it on. Now, granted, they lose tonight. The series isn't over. But I just feel like if I wake up tomorrow morning and it's like the Suns 128, Nuggets 120, I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling good about this again.
Well, of course, 100, they're going to go back to favorites, not only in the series, in the Western Conference, second-best odds to win an NBA championship. So you would definitely feel good about it. Honest question, though, because I don't know, everyone's different with stuff like this. Say you went to bed at, we'll just do hypothetical. Say you went to bed at 7:30, and you set yourself an alarm to wake up for, I'm trying to think
the
about.
Fourth quarter?
Whatever time the fourth quarter would be. What would that be, like 11:30? Would that be what time you'd have to wake up there? Maybe 12 o'clock or something like that?
Yeah.
Would you be able to get up, watch that game, and then get back to bed?
I probably would, but there's different, because my day is a little bit different structured than it was in the past. Like when we were doing in-play sports and then waking up in the morning, you know, very early, I had it worked out where I had like a 2.5 hour frame where I would get some sleep, like take a long nap, and that helped me. But the way my day is structured now, I actually don't have too much time. Double the dogs, other responsibilities. I don't get that nap time in, because it'd be kind of interesting. Like if I could, you know, I'm still living like a single life. Hey, I get off the air at 9. Let me get something to eat. Take a 2 hour power nap. I might be good at night. Like, hey, so what? I stay up to 11:30 or midnight. I'll get about 4 to 5 hours of sleep in. And then, I still get the extra 2.5 hours so you can make up. I don't do that anymore. There's no naps in my day. So that's why I could have fallen asleep earlier. But I got to tell you, a lot of times, like, you still have the thing built in your head. I'll roll over multiple times in the night and grab my phone and be like, third quarter, they're down 3. All right, go back to sleep. And it's like, 45 minutes later, I somehow wake up and I go check. It's fourth quarter. Here's what the score is. So very rarely do I fall asleep at like 7:30 or 8. And then 4:30 in the morning, like, oh, what happened last night? Like, I'm usually up at some point where I get to check and just, you know, fire off a tweet or, oh, this went my direction. Especially, again, if I'm doing an RBI prop at night or even have a Phoenix ticket, my mind's still going to be racing at night. There's going to be a good chance at it. Like 12:30, you might get a tweet from me tonight just because I'm up.
Yeah, I've seen the late night DRS. You know, that's like, I can't get up and start engaging like that and then head back to sleep. Like, that's good that you, that obviously is great, because I've seen you, you know, in the middle of the night getting involved there. And I'm like, what are you doing, dude? Like, I know you're not up right now. So, but hey, that's your thing. You're making it happen. You're giving the people what they need.
Exactly. That's what we need. We need a Suns victory tonight, which we might as well start that up and tee it up before we get into the next segment. So if you're looking for a game tonight, this is probably going to be the one that we anticipate, at least, being a closer game than the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics, obviously, just by the lines that are out there. Similar to what we saw in game one, it's -4. So if you're under the notion that the Nuggets, it's going to be more of the same than what you saw, 4 seems like a cheap price here, 229. Because again, it's not one of those lines, Kevin, where it's like, you know what? I think the Suns can hang around. Not sure if they can win. I'm going to take the Suns. That's dumb. You better think the Suns can win, which I do think they can win, and I'm also hoping that they can win, which is why I'm taking the Suns at +4, realistically, thinking they can win the game. So that's the way I'm headed in this game, and that's where I'll start.
Yeah, now, that does not mean that they can't lose in a covering effort, but
correct.
Yes, it would certainly be an odd thing to think that they have no chance to win that basketball game. I think that Phoenix backers always were expecting to take one out of the first two, not two out of the first two. So we'll see. The very, very interesting thing, though, is that team only played two games against Kawhi, and they split those basketball games. You know, in terms of fully healthy competition in the playoffs, 1-2. That's all I'm so far for the Phoenix Suns. You're right in that this, look, series doesn't end tonight, but the panic meter is very high. You will not have, you had more confidence in Milwaukee down 3-1 than you will have in Phoenix if they're down 0-2.
I need a win tonight. I need a big dub. I do. So, let's set the table for this one, K-Dub. Booker and Durant were 29.5 apiece today when we opened up the early line. Points prop. Devin Booker, 30.5. Kevin Durant, 28.5. Now, I haven't seen yet here on the boosts, but FanDuel, if you're listening, and I know you like to, run it back. Run it back with the 60 between the two. I'm all over that. That's what I need tonight, a nice run back of that. So let's continue to hit some of these player props in the late game in the NBA. It's Moneyline on a Monday. We'll return right after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Let's get after it. Hour number two. Good stuff here. Phoenix Suns, Denver Nuggets. Getting into the player points prop here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. 30.5 and 28.5. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant. Legitimate chance they both get to 30? Sure. Legitimate chance they both need to get to 30 to win? Maybe so. But if you had one bet to place, would it be on Booker over 30.5 or Kevin Durant over 28.5?
KD has been a little more consistent on the road. Also, again, I think we just still haven't seen the big breakout KD game. And we've seen a lot of huge games already this postseason for Devin Booker. I think that type of performance for Kevin Durant, of course, is coming and coming in what is easily. Is this a bigger pressure spot than the Clipper game? I'm going to say it's a bigger spot than the Clipper game because we were all like, well, they're obviously beating the Clippers, where tonight they're a dog. So this is the biggest game that KD's had to play so far as a Phoenix Suns and Phoenix Sun, and I think he steps up for that. So if you're making me bet one of those two, it would certainly be Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I bet a same-game parlay, and I'm trying to – actually, you know what? I should just be smart and log into my account because I was about to say, like, I can't remember what it actually was. But now I'm going to get it. It had a couple assists.
Last
and it had
game?
Points. It was.
I remember it. was KD 20 points and then 8 assists, yes. CP3, 8 assists,
and Jokic. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I was watching that game just infuriated. Because I knew KD was easily going to hit that 20. And I was like, Jokic and Paul. I'm like, you know what? Like, Jokic is probably going to get close to a triple-double. We know he can have some assists. All right. But the one I didn't even want to worry about was Chris Paul. I'm like, Chris Paul is going to be passing left and right with guys hitting, like, 17-foot jumpers. And, like, one assist at the break. I'm like, man, just get this game off my TV. Like, that's how upsetting it was to me.
Yeah, look, I know you're not going to like to hear this because you don't really care. But Chris Paul's assist numbers have gone down since KD showed up.
No, I have. I was looking at the total of the game. I was looking at what he had because he's always right in that range. Like that's why I was like, I'm not going to put him to get 10 assists. Just get 8. It's a playoff game. It's probably going to be close. And you have two guys that are each going to put up close to 30. And that's not because they're creating their own shot all the time. But the fact of the matter is, I wouldn't even mind it, Kevin. It's like, hey, he got 5 at the break. They got blown out. He got the 7. So be it. But I felt like I was never even in it, which really got me upset.
Yeah, no, that's always frustrating. I was taking a look at like the series leader in assists, and it was that Jokic, CP3 head-to-head. The reason I didn't want to bet Jokic averages 3 less assists per game in losses. He's at almost 11 in wins and like 7 mm-hmm. and a half in a loss. So that again, I wasn't trusting either spot there. Obviously, you know, the result was an unknown. I did have a piece of Michael Porter Jr., or I do have a piece, I should say, to lead the series in made threes. Just basically, if the Murray volume dropped back, Porter Jr. would have a great chance at a plus 300 price. The Murray volume did not drop back. Murray volume didn't drop back even a little bit there. Man, 10 threes for him in that first game. Again, he's just been on fire so far in Denver in this postseason.
Yeah, you expect that to probably continue too. And also, the one that upset me was, you know, because I wasn't really looking to. We talked about, you know, Dylan Brooks in that in the closeout game. Like, you know what? His usage rate is always going to be there. And it sort of fall into one. Sometimes all you can ask for those is, don't leave me in the end of the first quarter where they're, you know, going to the subs. He doesn't have a point, Dylan Brooks. He scores 5 right away. He's got 10 basically at the break. And then nothing happens. And also, it's like one of those, like, you know what? Let me throw a unit on that. Because the only reason I did that is just to use this $25, $50 just to have fun. It's because I got the 50% profit boost at FanDuel. I'm like, well, I'm not wasting this. Like, if I actually like it, I'm getting a 50% boost. Let's just hammer this thing and have a lot of fun. And when I saw the 10, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And it was night. My wife's already asleep. I'm actually in bed. I actually woke up to be like, you know what? Let me just watch it until he gets a layup or a wide open 3 or goes to the free throw line. And it never came. And even though there was 9 minutes to go when they went to the bench, I still find myself watching going, like, come on, man. Like, I see those guys still on the bench. Just, hey, coach, just maybe it's a breather. Like, 1 minute for the bench to come in. If they can score 3 points, we'll put the starters back out there. But it never happened at that point. So I'm trying to find an angle tonight because we do have, you know, same-game parlays in for the Sixers game, but not for this game itself. And I feel like it's sort of against the grain for us. Like, I usually like to take the game with the higher total and try to get after it. And I'm doing the opposite today. But there's a lot of really good shots to get back after it here in this game alone.
Yeah, so my same game parlay for this one it's a little minus money, but I think you'll see Kevin Durant increase the volume a little bit from 3, you take him for 2, and then I would also take Michael Porter Jr. for 2. But I think it was like minus 116, and you know, you kind of started there with the Celtics game, so I'm like, all right, that's fine, that's what we'll do. I have 2 straight wagers, though, in this game. They're both 3-point props, though. And again, I know we do this at the end, but just if people want a little added context there, I have Chris Paul over the 1.5 made threes. His volume has been increasing. And that's been the noticeable uptick, actually. Not the assists, but his 3-point shot attempts since Kevin Durant has showed up on this roster. Took 5 attempts last game, made his first, missed the next 4, which was super frustrating. So I want to circle the block on that number. And then Michael Porter Jr., the bounce back that we talked about, his prop tonight being listed at 2.5. Just coming off such a low volume game, really an outlier type of situation for Porter Jr. I expect a big increase in volume somewhere in that range of 8 to 10 3-point shots tonight.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about the 3-point shots, too, because if you hit the parlay, same game parlay, you can go Durant Booker. Durant over 1.5 3-point shots made, and Booker over 2.5. Now, the over 1.5 is a minus 205. Booker is 134. I do agree with you in one aspect where when coaching staffs have changes, it's not so much to say, hey, Kevin, I need you to play better, or Devin Booker, whoever. It's, hey, look, I'm going to bring these statistics to you guys. You got to fire away. You guys can make it, right? We're not talking about Ben Simmons, right, again, as we always like to bring up. Like, hey, man, I'm scared to shoot the three for Kevin Durant. No, you're not. But a couple of those that you make and go down, it opens everything else and just makes some sense. Because I don't believe it's one of those things where, like, hey, we're one of the best mid-range teams in the history of the NBA, which is what it feels like, which because how they operate, it's one-on-one isolation, willing to take two dribbles and knock down a 16-foot jumper. They do that better than anybody. But do you think there's a concerted effort tonight on the three-point line for those guys? And I'm not even talking about the bench guys, just those two guys, Booker and Durant.
Yeah, so there should be. There was in a, you know, pivotal third quarter against the Clippers. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you with a level of certainty, because for them to have the success that they did in that third quarter against the Clippers, you know, shooting 11 threes in a single quarter after shooting 7 in the first half, and then for them to revert back right back to that garbage in game one, I don't know, Donnie, if they basically just in that third quarter, like, no, these are open looks, these are good looks, or if it was a concerted effort there. And this is my problem, where I don't know if Monty Williams is even coaching this team right now, or Monty Williams is essentially thinking to himself, look, I've got all these guys, what needs to be coached up, what needs to be fixed, what needs to be said. Like, I've got Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, it's all going great. I got to trust them to get theirs. You know, the Phoenix Suns have a very famous superstar in the history of this league, in Steve Nash, where a lot of people wonder what would have happened had he known what we know now in terms of increasing that volume, right? What could Steve Nash have averaged if he shot so much more often? And I just don't understand how we're doing this thing where this team out there in 2023 is taking 23s a night. I mean, Devin Booker went 0 for 1 from 3. That's so unacceptable.
Yes.
And it's so unimaginable when you think about what his skill set is. I know he's not Klay Thompson, right? That was just always like the easy thing that people tried to. He's not Klay Thompson, but Devin Booker shooting the 3 is a valuable part of what he can bring to the table. And he just actively didn't do it. Lonnie, could you ever imagine a game where Klay Thompson went 0 for 1 from 3? When you make he got injured is what that means. Oh, he got Correct. Injured is what that means.
Now, how do you feel about Klay Thompson not making 3 3-pointers? Is that, you upset with that?
Well, what was upsetting about, here's what was double upsetting about it.
Yeah.
He came out hot, and I'm like, okay, we're in a golden scenario. But because, and I can't necessarily get angry about it, because everything was running through Steph, and rightfully so, Klay just wasn't getting the looks that typically, you know, I think maybe say it was a regular season game that, hey, look, Klay made one. Let's go make sure Klay makes the next, right? It was like, cool, Klay made one, but Steph's still going to do everything and take every shot. And that worked. And then why it was really more of a gut punch is he took some, like, questionable bad shots in the fourth quarter while Steph was basically only out there to score 50 and set a record. And he still couldn't make those. I'm like, how is that? Like, he's giving me attempts. I had the volume that I was looking for. He just couldn't cross that finish line, which was frustrating. Because I actually had him pregame 4.5. So the get back was going to be with the plus price on his live number. And I ended up losing both of those wagers. And I lost Draymond over 8.5 points, landing at 8 exactly. So that game was honestly pretty frustrating.
Yeah, I think I found a wager I got to participate in, though. Because, again, if I'm going to play that angle of you got to be better, you need more points. If you're going to tell me tonight that, once again, KD and also Devin Booker are approaching 30 points, Kevin, to make 2 3-pointers each, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, parlay them together, it's plus 107 for them to make two. Like, yeah. I just feel like there's a time where if they just had, like, if you told me Durant's going to shoot 4 threes tonight, he's making 2 of those. Because he's not the guy that's like, hey, you know what? I got 2 guys on me. Let me just fire a 3. It's like, oh, you're all really going to lead me at the 3-point line right now. Splash. Yeah. Take that. I got to feel like I might have to get in on that. I really do.
I'm trying to see if the
we'll have to build. We'll have to build a banger parlay tonight.
Oh, here you go. So if you want to straight bet it, Booker and KD to combine for 60s minus 110 on FanDuel, popular parlay tonight.
We need the boost. No, we need the boost. Because now that I saw it, it's got to boost it back. FanDuel, if you're listening, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant each to make 2 3. Combine for 4 threes. Where's that at? I mean, that's the way to do it. Give us the combine. We love it. Even if it loses, we still love it. Well, we love it while it's playing, as opposed to the loss when it takes it. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, big action tonight in the NBA. By the way, I don't want to leave this out. Whenever Game 7s pop up, and hockey as well, must-see TV. Okay. Rangers, Devils tonight, closeness on the line, closeness on the teams themselves. It's a minus 115, minus 104 split, and the over at 5.5 is actually going up today in, of the juice price. Technically, it's going down, but the plus money price has gone up to plus 112. I know it's usually closer to the vest, but we talked about it this morning. It's a really good chance that if one team, even if they're down 2-1, that goalie is getting pulled early with a legitimate chance to get multiple goals either direction in the final few minutes. Are you under that belief, or is it like, no, 1-0, 2-1, 3-2 final, that's it?
No, I totally understand the notion of the overs. We've talked about, you know, with the Rangers end of it at least, they have, you know, 3 wins in this series, obviously. They've scored 5 goals in all of those games. So you've seen that their kind of pathway has really been exploiting the young goalie for the Devils there. Maybe a Rangers team total of 2.5 could be a bit tempting. I said, you obviously have to kind of, you know, structure it appropriately, maybe go $50 on each, but the puck line is only factored in once so far in these first 6 games here. I understand the premise, tight game seven. Yeah. And yeah, we could get to overtime. But if we're talking pull the net theory, DRS, right? Doesn't that scream puck line?
It does. It does scream puck line there. It really does. So if you're looking at, and again, I don't know. I couldn't tell you more than, a matter of fact, I don't know. Nico Hersher, I believe, plays for the Devils.
Yeah.
Was
sure.
a draft
Jack
pick, and that's
Hughes.
The only reason why. You see, like, I wouldn't even have been able to name Jack Hughes, to be honest.
But you know Jack Hughes.
I know who, once you say his name, yes, I do. But that's where I'm coming to you. Like, hey, candy cap this game, Donnie. I'm like, you know what? I really don't even know who plays for the Devils, so I can't say that. I'm invested, minus 115 is a solid price, but they are in their own building. But I do understand how the sport works where, again, if you're down 2-0 with 3 minutes to go, you might get 5 minutes of that goalie out of net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, the guy that I mentioned, you know, if you wanted to do a goal scorer prop, Patty Kane looks a bit due at only 1 goal despite leading the team overall there in shots. At least this morning, the options on FanDuel weren't robust for this game, you know, points and things like that. But whether they're up now or you travel around sports books, there's plenty of options certainly for a game 7 out there.
By the way, Patty Kane is giving me vibes of Kenneth Pomeroy right now. It is.
Kenneth Pomeroy.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Yes.
Hold on a minute.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say Patty Kane until you just did it this morning.
Really?
And now I've done it now. Yeah.
So, first of all, let me just say this. That took a while for me to figure out because you hear the name Kenneth Pomeroy, which, again, only our good pal, that goofball BSS, would ever say.
Yes.
That correct. I genuinely was like, I don't even know who Kenneth Pomeroy is. Like, because he's just Ken Pom, okay? But, again, that's why that's funny. But Patty Kane, I'm pretty sure is a thing. Pretty sure. Now, it's funny. You got a pair of hockey guys here talking this through. So, obviously, this is a bit, and we know the correct answer.
Uh-huh.
But also, maybe some other hockey guys, if they want to call and confirm with us, we would also be open to that phone call.
Let it be known. By the way, any shots on goal props for you tonight here? What is that market? I haven't dipped into that lately here. Let's see. Let's see. Because granted, when you say, like, hey, the best scorer in the NHL is like a 1.5. Like, hold on now. Like, you know what I mean? My goodness. Now, the goal scoring market, it's not that. You'd figure it'd be like the home run market, but it's really not. It's crazy.
No, I feel like it's similar to the home run market, but maybe not as many deep shots. You know what I mean? Where the starting prices are usually around that range, aren't they? Isn't like the first guy like 2-1?
Yeah, but like Hughes plus 135, Timo Meier 185. Yes. Anytime goal scorer, Jack Hughes 135.
Okay, and we talk about this a lot, and I know this comes off negative, and maybe it is, but FanDuel does that because they don't hang the no. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Where the price there is probably not true to value. If you would be able to wrap it around the other side, I bet you there's people who would lay minus 200 in a game five of Jack Hughes to not score. If you're someone that's a juice layer.
Could be. I want to see how it plays out at that fact, because that doesn't, like, bring me into it. Like, it was like, hey, by the way, you can get somebody, and again, we're not talking just a defenseman that never scores. Like, you can get, you know, Curtis Lazar at 16-1 to somehow get a goal. But just like the honest guy, it's like, hey, man, 2-1. I need more than that, especially in a game that's totaled to 5.5. It's not like it's, you know, hey, by the way, 9 is the total in this game, and we're really going to get after it here. Why don't we check in with the phone lines here? 844-843-6879. It's a Monday right here on the early line. Money line, and Moose, he's ready to go here on a Monday. What's good, Moose?
Hey, gentlemen, back in the great state of Ohio from a very successful trip down in Florida. And K-Dub, Kevin Walsh, king of the hardwood floors. Mm. You made me some money with Mr. Wow. Brunson, 7 assists. You also made me a little cash with betting the under on the Golden State Warriors. Unfortunately, the points over on the other one hit at 209, so that was a push. But I got a little parlay for you tonight.
Go ahead.
I'm going to take the Islanders. I'm going to take the Islanders, and I'm going to pair them up with the Nuggets. So, yes, sir. It's on. And, hey, how about all of this shenanigans going on in the AFC North? You know, I can honestly say I think it's going to be an AFC North team that is going to win the AFC and represent in the Super Bowl. That AFC North has really stocked up on some players now. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I can't wait for the first game with the Ravens, seeing Odell going against the Browns. That ought to be a lot of fun as well.
There you go. There you go, K-Dub. Little Islander action today, huh? We know what he meant. Do we know what he meant? Well, I'm assuming it's the Rangers, right? If he's going to say that.
Funny.
Like, because immediately I was like, you know what he meant. Like, yeah.
You know what? Okay, so the if you had to set a betting line on what he meant, the Rangers are a pretty strong favorite.
Correct.
But if they were playing the Dallas Stars, we wouldn't be having this conversation. They're playing the Devils. They're for a little. Maybe.
Mm.
Here's the thing. Both fan bases, the Rangers would be more insulted by that. Like, Rangers be like, what? We're not the Islanders. We're the Rangers. I don't know. What are you going to do? It was slowed down that Braves game, by the way.
Yeah, it did. I'm very surprised by that here. But it looks like, as soon as you just said that.
No, really?
I was going to say, it's a deep fly out the right field. Like, that ball looked like, without any sound on, it looked like that one might have left the ballpark, like the actual ballpark itself. But no, not the case. And by the way, what a haircut here by Vogelbach. I mean, a braided cornrow. Wow. What a unit, man. I mean, that guy is a unit out there looking all the part. I like that. No, I'm actually impressed by that.
And this is where baseball does a nice job, is the ability to have the rotund athlete that really stands out in the way that they do. You don't got it in the NBA.
No.
NFL guys are big as all get out, but there's so many guys that are big.
Except for Memphis, right? You know what I mean?
But that's why Kenneth Lofton Jr. Not
yeah, exactly. Legendary.
Also, yes. But that's also why you and I have been trying to draft Kenneth Lofton Jr. To the Philadelphia Eagles for a while now. We went over those measurements. And we're like, this might be the greatest defensive
tackle.
Like, he'll pick Jordan
That's Aaron
Davis
Donald
up.
Playing basketball. Yeah, that's Aaron Donald playing basketball out there is the way I like to view it.
I saw a clip. I think it was Shannon Sharp went on to the Kelce Brothers podcast, and they were talking about, like, could guys translate and things like that. And he was basically saying, like, no, like, they, like, he goes, I'm not saying basketball players good, but he goes, it's not like we could play basketball, but basketball players can't play football. He's like, LeBron wouldn't be able to get off press. And maybe I don't, like,
could it set everybody off?
No, but because everyone knows that Shannon's obviously coming from a place of respect when it comes to LeBron. And I don't know anything about getting off press myself, but because I'm not the one like you. But I mean, you're really telling me like Sidney Jones is pressing up LeBron James. I mean, I'm not saying he's scoring touchdowns on Jalen Ramsey with ease, but like, I mean, Eric Rowe maybe catch the business.
Yep. I mean, working, you got to work on your get off on the line, K-Dub. I mean, that's essential to a wide receiver at that point. But to say that LeBron James, if he came out of high school as a, you know, player in college, like, what is he saying? Like, well, if you gave LeBron James no practice and put him in a live NFL game, well, sure, he's going to struggle.
Right.
But you're trying to tell me, like, LeBron James, like a 24-year-old that goes, you know what? I'm going to pause my NBA career for one season, and I'm going to have 4 months to get ready for an NFL season. Like, you're going to say, like, yeah, man, LeBron James looks terrible out there at tight end. Stop. The dude, what is he, 6'8"? I mean, who's pressing? Who's checking him? Kaiser White? What? You know what I mean? Like, my gosh. That's, like, what are you doing?
Again, I don't want to be like, whatever, fine, I'll be naive about it. But like, are you really telling me that like the press coverage technique is that great that where LeBron James is? Again, it'd essentially be like if I had Floyd Mayweather stand in the ring with Tyson Fury and they're like, the speed of Floyd Mayweather. I'd be like, let me tell you something, dude, right now. You don't cut out the speed of Floyd Mayweather.
But it's not even like, hey, LeBron doesn't know how to settle down in a cover two or LeBron James. Keep in mind, like, LeBron James played football in high school. We're not saying, like, LeBron never touched a football. Like, he came from Kenyon, who was, like, a great marathoner. Like, oh, how's he going to translate to the NFL? No, no, no. He played it there. So the fact of the matter is the easiest thing with LeBron James would be like, okay, I'm fast. I'm 6'8", and I'm agile as all get out. Ooh, man, this 5'11 linebacker at 205 is really going to hem me in. That's bad. That's really bad.
Yeah, LeBron, I just feel like there's, I don't know, every corner in football he'd be able to pick up.
But I think, like, again, the thing that we always laugh about, again, is like, hey, don't, like, if you want to have your heroes, like, you know, Myles Garrett, it's like he's the biggest man alive, and then he goes to an NBA and daps up an NBA player. It's like you're falling off of your chair going, now, who photoshopped that? Who are you kidding me?
I know.
Like, I was like Myles Garrett is supposed to be the biggest NBA player in the history of the world, but when he lines up against the guy, it's like, wow, he's actually not that big. Do the same thing with LeBron and put him on a football field. It's like, hey, LeBron just looks big on a basketball court, but everybody else is big, so it doesn't stand out. Put LeBron in a football uniform and say, hey, 5-yard line, I'm going to throw you a fade. Oh, he can't get off the lot. What? Stop it. Stop.
Myles Garrett's such a good example in that.
Yes.
People are like, man, you know Myles Garrett.
The biggest guy on the planet. Yes.
Correct. And it's like, man, it's impressive that Myles Garrett can dunk. But then you remember that, like, well, every NBA player can dunk is 6 inches taller than him. And they can also, like, you know, like, the gap in athleticism is just out of this world. People don't even realize it.
Like, boy, Dwayne Wade could never be a wide out in the pros. Like, do you know how big actually Dwayne Wade and how agile and how these guys jump through the roof? But I do like that, too. It's because everybody's going to pick up for the sport. But I'm surprised it wasn't like, hey, look, is LeBron going to be, like, the best tight end of all time? Maybe not. But to say, like, if you put a uniform on, like, man, he wouldn't even get off the line of scrimmage, that's pretty funny. It really is.
And just that's why it did blow me away. Because most people go, but he get jacked up, he's soft. And at that point, it's just kind of like, whatever. But Shannon being like, no, like, the technique of press coverage.
Yeah,
LeBron,
you don't understand.
I mean, it, I was like, huh.
Yes. Like, all right, a 6'8", mega monster, maybe the best athlete altogether of all time, is going to get checked by Kaiser White. That's what I like to hear about. That's what I like to think about. It is what it is. One more segment. We're ready for picks. Are you?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com. I said you
beat. Oh! Final segment here of a Monday. New week, new money. It's time to get some of that money back here. Same game parlay. I'll just rip this off from what we were talking about this morning here. Both myself and Kevin got same game parlays here from the Philadelphia 76ers, Boston Celtics game. I went Brogdon 10 or more points, Harden to make 2 threes or more, and Tatum to make 3 threes or more at a plus 130 price. Kevin went Maxey at 25 plus points and Brown 25 or more points. That's a plus 243. So let's cheer those on and have some fun also. I'm ready to press the trigger on this one. I think it makes some sense. Just look at the FanDuel. Devin Booker and Kevin Durant each to make two or more threes. That's at a plus 116 price. And in Major League Baseball tonight, keep an eye on this one once the lineups come out. It's Cincinnati and San Diego. Now, San Diego's back from that series where they're just popping balls all over the place down in Mexico. Not going to be that easy at Petco. But Weaver is on the mound tonight with a high xFIP, Kevin, and absolutely getting torched from left-handed and right-handed sides. There's four guys in the lineup that I'm actually looking for. Technically five. Tatis, Machado, Soto, Bogarts, and Carpenter tonight all line up very well. So if you're looking for RBI props and you're up late tonight, that might be the game to go to. JP, let them know where you're going today.
Yeah, we're going to go with Tobias Harris over the 16.5 points.
I like it. I'm rooting on the Sixers, man. I hope it happens. And anything good tonight here for you again, K-Dub, on your today's your weekend. It's Friday night for you tonight. What are you doing?
That's right. We are going for the Sixers team total over 101.5. Chris Paul over 1.5 made threes. And Michael Porter Jr. over 2.5 made threes. Three bets. Went best bet approach, actually, on all three of them in terms all right. of kind of the wager style there. So I feel really good about all of those there. Hoping for 3-0. Should be no worse than 2-1, certainly.
What we're looking to do tonight, essentially, if you just put the translator up there, you put all of this segment into it, and it spits out, Kevin, hashtag rally the valley. Whoa. That's what it means tonight. The valley must rally. Yes. I don't want to be Owens. Come on, man. Don't let me lose both Milwaukee props and also Phoenix props here. One of them's got to come home. One of them at least has to put up a fight for me here, and I think they will. Behind the wheels of steel today was JP. Sonny Wright. It's Kevin Walsh. Today's Moneyline. You know what? We'll do it again tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.